Grace and peace to you from God our Father and from the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. The text today is the text from Luke 14 that was read. And I recall from my time as a pastor, one of my favorite things to do was to gather with my brother pastors in the circuit for our Winkle meetings. That was always a highlight of the month when we would gather together as brothers. And my Winkle group was a very diverse group with pastors from both seminaries. And it was led by a man who came out of this seminary in the 1960s, who was a bold, confessed gospel reductionist. In other words, he didn't think that we should preach the law other than to inform people of their need for a Savior. And his view of the gospel itself was very tame and inoffensive. It was the simple message that God loves everybody. And he thought that all of us young pastors should just preach every Sunday, God loves everybody. And very often when we would, this is how the Winkles would work. We would take turns hosting, and the hosting pastor would have a service with usually the gospel reading from the previous Sunday. He would have a communion service, and although we always had business to do, every single time we would, I won't say degenerate, but after the sermon, we would end up having a debate about the meaning of the text and a critique of the sermon. And often this old pastor would get on our case if he thought we were just a little too harsh with the law, and he didn't like what he called offensive passages of the scripture. In other words, he identified some passages as being offensive, and he just thought better not to talk about those passages. And so I can recall the Tuesday when I was leading the Winkle, and the text was Luke 14, 1. Well, I actually carried it beyond verse 11 into the text that followed, where Jesus advises his host on who he should invite to the next dinner party. Not your equals, not people who can invite you back, but the poor, the cripples, the lame, people who can't invite you back. And then we pressed on even to the parable of the wedding feast, or the great feast, which also is a part of this setting, where Jesus kind of insinuates that the original guests invited to the great eschatological feast are going to turn that invitation down, and so it's going to go out to others. And I can remember this old pastor kind of smiling at one point after the sermon and saying, this is one of those passages better left untouched. He was bothered by the fact that, in his words, Jesus offers unsolicited advice to his fellow guests about how they should go about choosing seats the next time they're invited to a wedding feast. And, sure, this is Jesus, but, nobody asked him for his opinion about this. He just takes it upon himself to advise them, next time you come to a feast, don't pick the best seats, pick the lower seats so that you can be honored in the presence of everybody, not shamed. Kind of practical wisdom, but really, how does that apply to Christians? And Jesus just takes it upon himself then to tell his host, next time you throw a party, invite these people, not these people. I mean, it's not like anyone asked Jesus for his opinion, he just sort of gives his opinion. In fact, this man even backed up and said he had trouble with the fact that Jesus healed that man with dropsy on the Sabbath. In other words, yes, Jesus is Lord of the Sabbath. This is now the third time in Luke that he heals somebody on the Sabbath day. He has every right to do that. But really, why get in these people's faces with this stuff? Wouldn't it be just a little less offensive if Jesus had waited till the Sabbath was over and then healed that man? It's not like the guy with dropsy would have been any less grateful to be healed on Sunday than Saturday. And this was his take with this text, and basically it was his critique of me, Dave Lewis. Dave, why did you pick this text to talk about today? And we had a debate that then took up the rest of our time. Then we all had lunch as brothers. Never got to the business that day as we ended up arguing about Luke 14, which I think is the best way to spend your time at a Winkle meeting. it really came down to what I would say the verse that anchors today's text, verse 11, where Jesus says, and this is his explanation of his advice, his unsolicited advice about how his fellow guests should pick seats the next time they go to a wedding. For everyone who exalts himself will be humbled, and he who humbles himself will be exalted. And this was the kind of passage that challenged that older pastor. He didn't want to hear stuff like that, where the message should be God loves everybody. But now we've got this verse where God is humbling some and exalting others. Because indeed, this is how we should understand this verse. For everyone who exalts himself will be humbled. Humbled by whom? Well, humbled by the God of Israel, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. And not only is this taking place now, as God's reign is being established, but even more so on the last day, when everything will be consummated. And he who humbles himself will be exalted. Well, exalted by whom? Well, exalted by the God of Israel, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who even now is lifting up people through his gospel. And this will be then consummated ultimately on the last day when our Lord returns. This is something that God is doing in his Son Jesus as he brings his kingdom of grace here on earth. He is exalting some and humbling others. And in fact, if we were to carry this text all the way through to the parable of the great feast, it is the very people Jesus is warning and giving this advice to, those who are first invited, who are going to find themselves humbled because they reject the invitation to come to that eschatological feast. And so God will send his servants out to gather others, others who may not have been the first listed to come to this feast, and they are the ones who will fill up that banquet hall. See, this isn't just some unsolicited advice about how you should pick seats when you go to an event. Probably keep this in mind, I guess. We'll all be fighting for the least seats to see who gets exalted, right? Now, Jesus anchors his teaching and his warning in the very eschatological acts of God as he is bringing about salvation to this world through his Son, Jesus Christ. And if we listen to Jesus' words, then we know that we are called to humility. This is the proper response to what God has done for us by sending his Son to be our Redeemer. And yet this is also good news for you. This may sound unflattering, but everybody gathered here today are actually a bunch of nobodies. I mean, seriously, some of you may be descendants of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, but most of you are not. In fact, we're descendants of nations that weren't even around Israel at that time. We were nowhere in the story, and yet in time, God has sent his servants out to you with the gospel of Jesus Christ to call you to repentance for the forgiveness of sins on the basis of Jesus' name. He has elevated you to the status of disciples of Jesus, and in baptism, he's elevated you to the status of being his true children in Jesus Christ our Lord. In fact, I look at a bunch of nobodies who have become somebody because of what God has done in Jesus. He has called you to be his people. And so, those who were once nothing, God has lifted up in Christ Jesus to make you who are not his people, his people. You who were sinners, those who are now forgiven on the basis of Jesus' name. Those of you who were actually God's enemies, now you have become his children in Christ Jesus our Lord. This is what God does in Jesus. Those who are exalted, he brings down, but those who are humble, those who are nothing, he brings up. And so it is our response then to follow our Lord, to deny ourselves and take up our crosses and follow him, to humbly walk with our God. But that is because we follow the God of Israel, who is now your Father through Jesus Christ. And this is the God who takes those who are nothing and lifts them up and turns them into something. And so he has turned you into his very people, children, called to serve him in this time and in this place. And so to our God and Father be all the glory, both now and forever. Amen. And may the peace that passes all understanding keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen. Please stand.